فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون.
Ask the people of the reminder if you do not know.
How can people better understand Islam by studying theology?
What is Islamic viewpoint about Big Bang?
How can Muslims safeguard their belief from non-Islamic?
Responding to your queries on
Question and Answer.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. I hope you had a good time so far, dear listeners. You're listening to Radio Ma'arif. I'm Muhammad Jawad Mawafi, hosting the program Question and Answer. Here we invite guests from different corners to come here to the studio and answer your questions. Well, we have a list of questions here and we actually reflect your opinions. And inshallah, we try our best to do, let's say, the right thing here. And today's guest, well, is Hujjatul Islam Barati. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Okay. You can call us at 0098-251-291-0551 or 0098-251-291-0552. You can also visit our website by going to www.radioma'arif.ir. I spell that for you. Radio Ma'arif. Radio is radio and Ma'arif is MAAREF.IR. Well, and you can also send your comments to the following address. Radio Ma'arif, EN, all as one word, at RIB.IR. Thank you very much for listening to us first. Well, let me shift to the first question. If you have no problems, sir.
Thank you. No,
all right.
I'm ready.
Good. Well, the first question is actually about the hadith of the Holy Prophet, or quoted from the Holy Prophet. He said that Jews were split into 71 sects. Christians are split into 72 sects. And my ummah, the Islamic ummah, will split into 73 sects. And only one sect will go to heaven. And the rest, or the majority of these sects, will end up in hell. Well, today there are many sects, even in Islam, as we all know. And everyone says that they are the best sect, and they deserve heaven, and they are the righteous one, but not the others. They deny the others, but they claim that their own sect is the best sect. Well, could you please elaborate on this and explain it to us? So which sect do we have to follow here?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This sort of hadith is about 71 or 72 or 73 sects. When they are analyzed and compared to each other and to other other traditions and
yes.
also verses of Holy Quran,
mm-hmm.
they seem to be weak traditions.
I see.
They are not reliable traditions, not only from the view of followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam
yes.
and Shia sect, but even by knowledgeable Sunni scholars.
Yes.
They have told us we cannot rely on this sort of hadiths dividing Islamic Ummah to 73 sects.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, considering only one of them deserving, for example, salvation or saving or rescuing from the hell, and the majority or most of them or even all of them but one
yes.
Deserving hell. This is not true in Islam, and this seems very compatible with the idea of takfiriyin, those who consider all of Muslims non-believers and only their own sect believers. Now we have such as these groups, we call them takfiri. And you know, most of the or all of the terrorists, which consider themselves Muslim terrorists, are from this group. These traditions are based off their idea, of their belief, of their ideology,
yes,
which they build their jihad, as they yes. claim, or terrorism, as it is true, killing all of the groups but their own group,
yes,
Muslims, non-Muslims, and consider them blasphemous people.
Yes.
This is the root of their ideology. And it is not true, because Quran, Holy Quran, in many verses, even considers non-Muslim groups
yes.
deserving heaven.
Yes, right.
Deserve to have a good future, to have a good life in eternity.
Yes.
So non-Muslims deserve to go to heaven. How about Muslims? If they are really Muslims, faithful Muslims, they are practicing their own Islam, why they don't deserve to go to the heaven?
Yes.
So the number raised a lot of controversy and difference and debate among the Islamic scholars, and told we cannot find this exact number in the history of sects in Islam.
Yes.
Because there is a knowledge in Islam, and even now it is taught in Hoza, in seminary. They call it Milal wa Nihal.
Right.
Sects and the schools of thought in every mm-hmm. religion.
Yes.
For example, how many groups, how many schools of thought are existing in Christianity, in Judaism,
right.
in Islam? The number does not, for example, compare with the reality, with
right.
what is existing in the sin. So never the number was in this amount. Most of the time was less or more.
Right.
Now the number of sects in Islam is more than 73.
Uh-huh.
In Christianity is even more than 200, maybe very close to 300. In Islam also. So how they count the groups and the sects and the schools to become 73?
Uh-huh.
And how this number never compares with Jewish groups, never with Christian groups, never with Muslim groups. So the reality shows that the number is different. This is another proof for this hadith, which is not true, that this hadith is not true, is not a right hadith, is not showing the reality, the real history of religion, the real history of sects and groups in Islam and in Christianity and Judaism. So it's better to say that this hadith is not reliable at all.
All right. And what do you say about the verses in the surahs of the Quran which state that most of people do not understand, or most of people, for example, are not wise, so that they finally end up in hell?
Most of people means majority of the mankind.
Yes.
Does not talk about Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But
right.
in this hadith, three main religions are mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And are divided to a certain number of groups,
yes.
which does not compare with the reality and with the history.
Uh-huh.
So that could be true, that the majority of people have not the maximum of knowledge,
uh-huh.
don't possess the, for example, high level of recognition knowledge about Allah,
yes.
about
inside,
religion,
yes.
about and even wisdom.
Yes.
For their own personal and practical life. Maybe it's true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge upon people by the maximum wisdom and maximum faith and maximum, for example, practicing of Islam.
Yes.
There is a minimum which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is satisfied
yes.
To find this minimum from people.
Right.
So Allah is merciful to people, and
yes.
Allah forgives people.
Right.
And even there are verses in Holy Quran that says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a.
Right.
Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. So it promises us to forgive all people,
mm-hmm.
even sinful people.
Right.
And there are some traditions that say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to forgive people and to free them from hell in a way which Satan himself also is expecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him even.
Right.
Despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, it is not possible. It is impossible.
Yes.
For him to be forgived. Even he becomes expecting this kind of forgiveness.
Yes.
So, could we accept these verses and traditions, or this single tradition,
yes,
which is not true at all?
Mm-hmm.
And even in the time of Prophet, peace be upon him, he never told that a very small group of people are in heaven and others are in hell. And also, Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam were against takfir.
Right.
And we have a sort of hadith that prohibits takfir, says that you have no right to say others are kuffar.
Uh-huh.
And even with kuffar, with real, real kuffar,
right,
when Quran starts to make a kind of dialogue and debate with them, he says, "Inna aw iyyakum la'ala hudan," does not say that certainly you are in hell, certainly you are misguided,
uh-huh,
you are going astray. That even you or us, one of us are true and one of us are not true.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you are true and we are not true. Maybe we are right, we are not right, you are right.
Right.
So this is the method of dialogue in Quran. And
excellent,
how we can accept this kind of selfish and dogmatic and takfiri tradition,
uh-huh,
which is not possible by rational method of thinking and even traditional method of thinking. Traditional method, which is Quran and Hadith, does not support this and endorse this. And also rational way of thinking says that this is not true.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the nice explanation. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. Well, the next question is about women. I would like to know the opinion of Islam regarding this matter, the following matter. We recently elected the new committee, one guy says actually here. We recently elected a new committee for MSA, or Muslim Student Association. It's a college-based organization or institution. The elected president was a sister, and the vice president also was another sister. However, some brothers argued that in Islam, women cannot hold such high positions, and they seek their justification from one of the prophet's hadith, which says, "No success for a nation which is ruled by women." Could you please clarify this issue for us?
Yes, this is also one of the traditions that are not reliable,
uh-huh,
because there are a lot of quotations are called hadith or tradition. First of all, we should be sure that this is issued by the Holy Prophet himself.
Mm-hmm.
So before we become sure and certain that this is issued by the Prophet himself,
right,
we cannot judge upon it. And there is a great doubt upon this tradition, because the chain of narrators, the text, does not show that it is true. Because Quran, which is,
yes,
our first resource for Islamic thought,
yes,
says that there were women who hold leadership of their nation. And they are praised in Islam. And you find the story of Lady Bilqis.
Uh-huh.
Bilqis is a lady from Yemen, mm-hmm, from Saba,
yes,
kingdom of Saba. He was contemporary with Prophet Solomon.
Mm.
And also you can find this story in Torah, in the Old Testament,
yes,
which is the very old base for religious thought and for Abrahamic religions.
Yes.
Says that this lady was the leader,
mm-hmm,
was the king,
yes,
or for example, queen,
yes,
for his count, for her country, and he was atheist. She was atheist,
mm-hmm,
but she was in the same time with Prophet Solomon.
Yes,
Prophet Solomon, when he was informed by a bird that there is another kingdom far from Palestine, and they are worshipping sun,
mm-hmm,
they have another,
yes,
religion, but they have a very nice queen, and they obey her in their life. So they are well organized,
mm-hmm,
but ideologically they are not monotheists. They are not Muslim. They don't believe in Allah and prophets of Allah.
Yes.
So Solomon started to correspond this lady and her court, and sent a letter to her, and the story continues till the time that this lady becomes Muslim.
Mm, yes.
And the word Islam is used by this lady and is quoted in the Quran. I follow the same way of Solomon. As he surrendered himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I surrender myself to Allah. So, and there is no critics upon this lady, no bad quotation upon this lady. So she became an example for atheist women, which they think really by in a wise way,
mm-hmm,
and in an intellectual way, and they study religion of Allah, religion of God, by an intellectual method, and accept it and follow it,
mm-hmm,
and surrender themselves and their power and their, for example, society to this order, to this,
yes,
religion, to be guided by this order. They find it better than their order, their own system, their own,
yes,
lifestyle. They find this lifestyle better than their own lifestyle, and voluntarily and freely they choose this and they convert to religion of God.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
this is an example in Quran about a lady which was a leader in her country. What's the problem,
mm-hmm,
with this personality, with, right, this kind of symbol for ladies?
Right.
Even Lady Bilqis could be a symbol for Western women, for powerful women, for political women.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if they study her life and follow her way,
yes,
it could lead them to a kind of salvation, to a kind of better life, even in this world and in after life. So, and Prophet himself, he left for us an example.
Yes.
Left for us a symbol.
Yeah.
How he followed Lady Khadija.
Right.
Lady Khadija was a leader.
Uh-huh.
Was a merchant.
Yes.
A very, for example, rich merchant in Saudi Arabia now and in the Arab Peninsula at that time.
Yes.
And he joined her staff in this business,
yes,
international business,
yeah,
and went to the Syria, to Sham, do business for her, and this made her to, for example, study about Prophet more and more, and choose him for being his husband before he become prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So even our prophet in his personal life showed us that if there is a lady which is really wise and intellectual and a good organizer, a good leader,
uh-huh,
a good governor, a good manager,
yes,
we should follow her.
I
Why
see.
Not?
Uh-huh.
So the practical life of prophet shows another method against this tradition.
I see. I kind of guess, you know, where this problem comes from. You know, as you know, there is a lot of propaganda against Islam. And they say, for example, Muslims do not regard equal rights for both males and females. Is that so? Would you just talk about that too?
They mix between some traditions left from former religions or from former cultures,
yes,
like Judaism, Christianity, like Arab tribes, like Hebrew tribes, like Eastern tribes.
Yes.
They mix between this kind of traditions and beliefs and culture and Islam.
I see.
Islam came to correct all of these,
to
elaborate all of them,
yes,
to develop all of them.
Yes.
As I told you, in practical life of Prophet, and commands and decrees and judgments and law in Islam, all of them show that Prophet of Islam enhanced the situation of women in the society,
right,
and empowered women in the society.
Sure it did, yes.
Before Prophet came, they didn't have any right for heritage, for example, certain, for example, financial rights. No. But after Prophet, peace be upon him, they gained all of these things. But they want to reflect what they have to Islam.
Right.
Even, you know, how many years ago women in the West, in Europe, gained a right for voting?
Yes.
Do you know how many years ago?
Yeah, it's about 50 years ago, I guess.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
But in Islam, we never had such as this.
Uh-huh.
In Islam, a lady can, for example, be a very big merchant,
uh-huh, or
to have a long, for example, sort of property.
Yes.
You have in the story of Islam a lot of rich women. They had their own property devoted to, for example, religious or to social purposes.
Yeah.
No, these are not Islamic traditions, Islamic culture, but some of them are existing in Judaism and Christianity. And even now you can find it in Bible, you can find it in Torah,
yes,
which even says that maybe it is possible 1,000 men go to the heaven, but is impossible to that one woman goes to heaven.
Yeah.
Even now it's existing in Old Testament and New Testament. But this is a kind of trick and technology for propagation or propaganda to accuse the other side and flee.
Escape it. Yeah.
If
somehow,
if somebody comes and makes a kind of research in a fair and in a, for example, what can
just
I
manner.
Say? Just method.
Yes.
For example, brings all of the quotations in Quran.
Yes.
In one list, and all of the quotations about women in Bible in one column.
Yeah.
And another column for quotations about women in Torah.
Yes.
And
exactly.
compares.
Yeah.
In each special issue, in every, for example, special and specific subject or case.
Mm-hmm.
About heritage,
yes,
about, for example, value, about, for example, family life,
yeah,
about heritage,
yes,
about, for example, respect, punishment, judgment, all of them in, for example, subjective and in a kind of, what do you call, alphabetic method. And you find, for example, for every case, for every subject, what is told in Torah, what is told in Bible, what is told in Quran. In this case, you find how much is difference between Islam and Judaism and Christianity.
Yes.
And even to the modern law,
yes,
and modern legal system,
yes,
you can find even now Islam is better than them and is more enhanced than them, because Islam has divided the rights and the duties.
Yes.
And judged upon women and men in a very equal method. Gave them, for example, duties, gave them rights.
Yes.
And finally, at the end of the day, the duties are given to ladies are less.
Yes.
And the rights are given to them are more.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the rights are given to them are 2 in 3.
Yes.
And the duties are given to them are 1 in 3.
Uh-huh.
And vice versa.
I see.
Yeah. The heavy works and duties are left for men, but the rights, supports, financial rights, financial support, spiritual support, legal support are given to ladies.
Yes.
Always is in this method. And in the other hand, they are given duties of taking care of family, of children, of husband. And even in many cases, they are for example, dismissed of some duties like jihad. Yes. In jihad, women have no duty to go and sacrifice,
yes,
and
exactly,
be, for example,
yeah,
injured or captured or like this. But
yeah,
men have these duties.
Uh-huh.
But in, for example, payment of life,
yes,
or expenses of daily life, they have no duty. Men have to pay for them.
Yes,
so
exactly,
this is the support. And you remember, Islam has emerged in a tribal society.
Yes.
In a very old age.
Yes.
And that time has given this legal system. And even now, in this modern life, some of the rights women have in Islam, in other cultures and countries and religions, they
mm-hmm.
don't have them.
No, unfortunately, we don't see it. I mean, there are some limitations, or more limitation, I can say, for the women in even Islamic countries. That's why maybe the Westerners actually follow and they believe those propagandas, you know?
Yeah, these are coming back to the traditions, to the cultures. Cultures and traditions. I told you,
yes,
they are the same society which Prophet, peace be upon him, emerged in and prevented them from killing the girls.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
So
yes,
even now they are doing this. And you can find such as these things in Western societies, in medieval age societies,
yeah,
modern age societies. These are cultures. These
mm-hmm.
are customs.
Yes.
These are not religious law or decrees.
Yeah,
we have to separate them.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much for that explanation.
Subhanallah,
another question is about the source of hadith, whether it was revealed or they were revealed, or they were just interpretations and intuitions of you know, those people who narrate those hadith and traditions. You know, if a hadith is not a revelation or is not revealed, can it turn a lofty intuition, an exalted one?
Revelation is another source, and
yes,
tradition is another source. Tradition is not revealed.
Uh-huh.
But if we have a group of narrations, we call them Qudsi hadith.
Yes, yes.
Hadith Qudsiya. These are narrated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These
mm-hmm.
are also revelation. But hadith Qudsi, if we forgot about them, other kind of hadiths, other kind of traditions, are narrated from Prophet in Shia sect, from Imams of Ahlul Bayt, which are validated by Prophet, and in Sunni sect from Sahaba and Tabi'in.
Yes.
These are validated by revelation. Revelation says that this kind of traditions, if they are, for example, sure and they are certain, they could be reliable.
Yes.
Because in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ.
Yeah.
You have to follow everything Prophet orders you,
yes,
and abandon what he prohibits for you.
Yes.
And also other verses which says that you have to listen and obey what Prophet says.
Yes.
فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. This is a verse that says every single and individual of Muslims has to follow Prophet.
Yes.
So because of that, they are validated, but they are not revelations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
The verse I recited is in chapter of women, Surah An-Nisa.
Yes.
Chapter number 4 from Holy Quran. And the number of verse is 65.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. Well, the next question, or the last one, is about Hajj. What are the benefits of Hajj for the individual and the Ummah?
I cannot say all of them now,
yes,
but in a very concise and short method of explanation, Hajj has, as you divided, two sorts of benefits and interests.
Yes.
One for individuals and one for the society.
Mm-hmm.
For individuals, first of all, Hajj, a decree.
Yes.
Hajj is a decree from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one of the pillars of Islam. And for every single Muslim, if he has the ability and the power and the wealth for it, is obligatory one time in the life.
Right.
And more than that, is recommended and is mustahab. And in Hajj, you have all of the rituals of Islam. You have salat, prayers. You have fasting in some ways. You have to abandon some of desires.
Yes.
You have to, for example, go and move around the Kaaba.
Yes.
Do tawaf.
Yeah, revolve
and many, many things. Many rituals in Hajj are gathered and composed.
Practice, yes.
And Hajj is to intend your God and to travel to him. You are not only traveling to Mecca or to some stones or some valleys or like this. You are traveling to your Lord, to Allah, living the life for him.
Yes.
And you are making a kind of demonstration for yourself what is happening in the day of judgment.
Yes.
People leave all of the, for example, accessories or like this, and they wear their own simple dresses,
yes,
and clean dresses, and go to far places, to dry places, which are not attractive at all, and leave all of the materialistic attractions for their own God.
Right.
To show that they are really sincere to him,
uh-huh,
really devoted to him.
Yes,
they don't follow him, they don't obey him because of the bestowment. Right. They love him for himself. They love Allah for himself. Because of that, Allah has put his house in desert.
Yes.
No, for example, greens, no grains, no...
There's no leer,
For example, what you call them today, tourist attractions at all.
Yes,
but it is a kind of a spiritual attraction in this area.
Yeah.
Because Prophet Abraham, the father of all religions of Allah, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, has immigrated to this place, has built this house, and his wife Hajar and his son Ismail, they have participated in making this house for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are doing a kind of sympathy to them, a kind of devotion to them. This is the personal aspect of Hajj.
Mm.
And also the collective, and not individual, collective aspect of Hajj or social aspect of Hajj is a kind of demonstration for unity of Islamic Ummah.
Mm-hmm.
And devotion of Islamic Ummah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to his religion and to his way and to his prophets. Because of that, they pay such as this amounts. They, for example, accept such as this suffering, travel from far places, come to this area, which is not habited, which is not containing all of the facilities for life.
Mm-hmm.
And they make a kind of, for example, accord and contract or treaty with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a treaty, because at the end of the Hajj, you go to Hajar al-Aswad and touch it and say, this is my accord.
Yes.
This is my treaty with you, with Allah. This is a hand of Allah, a kind of symbolic hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I make a treaty with Allah to be loyal to him and to his religion to the end of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a kind of demonstration for Islamic unity and Islamic power and Muslim power, and a lot of benefits I cannot tell you, like, for example, knowing each other and doing trade and ties and relations with each other, and a transmission of knowledge, of power, of, for example, economic interests between each other. So this is because every single and every individual Muslim which comes from part of the world to this place is representative of his nation
mm-hmm.
and his ummah and his group.
Yes.
So they come here to mm-hmm. make a kind of congress,
uh-huh.
a world congress
yes, yes.
of Muslims.
Yes.
Yearly world congress of Muslims is happening in Hajj.
Yeah.
And Islam has gone to a lot of places because of Hajj.
Yes. Thank you very much, Hotel Islam Bharati. This is Radio Ma'arif. You're listening to Question and Answer. I'm Muhammad Jawad Mawafi, hosting the program. You can visit our website, www.radiomaarif.ir. You can also send your comments and opinions to the following email address, radiomaarifen, without any space in between, at rib.ir. Ma'arif is spelled MAAREF. Well, and you can also call us at 0098-251-291-0551 or 0098-251-291-0552. Thank you for listening. Have a nice time.
Allahu a'lam haythu sanna wilaha أمر العباد بحب هوى رضاها هم أتراج الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين هم أتراج الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين أمر العباد بحب هوى رضاها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها هم عترات الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين هم عترات الهادي الآمن هم منهاج الحق المبين أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها الله أعلم حيث سنى ولاها أمر العباد بحبها ورضاها